This is a special edition of Inside Lifeway, the official news podcast of Lifeway Christian Resources. Thanks for listening.
I'm Polly House, sitting in today on this edition of Inside Lifeway. Most Christian parents would agree that today's cultural landscape offers ample temptations capable of leading good kids astray. Vicki Courtney's one of those parents. Vicki's also a speaker and author who has devoted her ministry to providing biblical tools designed to help parents and teens navigate that sometimes treacherous landscape. Earlier this year, Lifeway developed Vicki's most recent book, 5 Conversations You Must Have With Your Daughter, into a small group study by the same name. That study's already having quite an impact on mothers and daughters around the country. Here today in our studio to talk about those 5 conversations is the author herself. Vicki, thank you for coming in today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Let's start with the premise of the study. Of all the things parents talk with their children about, how did you narrow it down to 5 questions?
Originally it was 10 conversations. but that was a really long book. After spending about a decade, you know, in the trenches of ministry, doing events to particularly mothers, teenage girls, even tween girls, I began to really see a pattern of some of the same issues that really universally all girls in this country are struggling with, whether they're church girls or they're non-church girls, and pinpoint some of those that I feel like mom needs to pay more attention to and have some relative key conversations regarding. And so that's where, you know, obviously, like the first conversation is you're more than the sum of your parts. Body image, dieting, the media's portrayal of perfection that they see, airbrushed images. And I mean, I could go on and on, but, you know, that's going to be a major theme that needs to be addressed. Whereas 50 years ago, if you go back and look, that wasn't so much an issue in the news at that time. And so
that's
I tried
true.
To take the things that were out there that have caught a lot of parents off guard, to where we're wondering, well, how do we tackle this? And do the homework for mom and dad, moms especially having these conversations. But I do hear from a lot of dads, which is exciting, that are reading the book as well. And try to narrow it down to what are those key conversations we need to have. And then the whole premise, you know, of the book, when I use the term conversations, is that each of these are ongoing conversations in nature. And so, you know, the best thing is to pick up the book before your daughter hits 12, 13, 14. Not too late if she's already there or even older than that. But the best thing is to have it on your radar, to know it's coming down the pipe, and to be able to address it at some basic level, even in the earlier years.
So maybe this would be a good book to buy for the mom of a toddler.
Absolutely. I mean, it says on the back cover of the trade book, from the cradle to college, telling your daughter the truth about life before she believes the culture's lies.
I thought it was interesting you used the term redefining beauty. I know from little girls, you know, 2 and 3 years old, they want to be pretty. They want to be a princess. They want to do this. They want to do that. And it just keeps going. How do you redefine beauty to a 12-year-old?
First of all, we've got to go back to God's Word and look at passages that talk about beauty in the sense of, you know, I think of just off the top of my head here, the Proverbs 31 woman. We didn't hear, you know, in that passage of 21 verses, an emphasis on her external attributes. We see when God talks about women in the Bible that most often he's referring to inner beauty, the gentle and quiet spirit, you know, the heart. He's looking at what's going on in that woman's heart. And then, you know, to go back to the Proverbs 31 woman, the center of her entire world was the fear and reverence, the reverence and awe, fear of the Lord, being reverence and awe of the Lord. And that was the basis of everything, you know, all the other qualities that she possessed. And mm-hmm. So, again, it's going back and it's looking at beauty. When God looks at beauty, begins in the heart. And it's something that's happening on the inside, and what people see on the outside, I do think, reflects a lot of what's going on on the inside, and we need to get that message back out to our girls, because as you implied, it's they've got, they from the moment they wake up to the moment they go to bed at night, they're bombarded with airbrushed images and just a formula, if you will, that you're supposed to be a size 00 and weigh almost nothing and look this way on the outside. You know, the models, I tell moms, tell your daughters, the models don't even look like the finished product once we see them in the magazines. They don't look that good.
And I saw an interview with Cindy Crawford a few days ago, and she said she had to remind her people with the store that she's working with now and some furniture. She said, I don't look like Cindy Crawford when I wake up. It takes five people to make me look like Cindy Crawford.
And I appreciate her, you know, saying that in an interview. And again, those are the kinds of things, when you hear those things, that I want moms to now sit down and find that interview on the internet and show it to their daughters. And I even have something in the conversation number one on body image, you know, for moms, let's talk to our daughters about cellulite. I don't know of another study out there that talks about cellulite being a reality, you know, and because our girls, they grow up and then they think that, you know, oh my goodness, I'm the only one that has this, or you know, and so just certain things like that, that lies, again, they're mm-hmm. lies that the culture has sent our girls, that we need to counteract with God's amazing truth.
With these conversations, I think the premise is that you have a good relationship with your daughter to begin with. How does having the relationship make these conversations easier? Because some of them are tough. You get into body image, you got into sex.
Yeah. You know, I realize that when a mom picks up this book, not every mother, a good number of them, in fact, are going to be in the place right now where they have a what they would call a good and positive relationship with their daughter, especially if their daughter's hit about 14 on up. And, you know, I've shared speaking engagements before. It's like that. If you have a daughter in that age range that's older than about 14, you've seen the transition where prior to that age, she thinks, you know, she thinks for a while there that you hung the moon. And then it's almost like as if it's overnight, all of a sudden you wake up one day and she thinks you're from the moon. And that's, you know, that's kind of, we all go through that with our girls. And so for the moms that pick up the study and they've got the daughter who's rolling her eyes and she's, you know, convinced that mom is just a screaming dork, because we're all dorks, you know. And, I tell her, persevere, you know that even if she's rolling her eyes and all of that, she's still listening at some level. And this is where I encourage moms at the events that I do, the mother-daughter events and such, to get your bravery back, to be able to go to your daughter, take her out for dessert or whatever, and say, you know, hey, I mean, let's say it's a mom in this situation where the relationship is tense at best, and take her out and tell her, you know, I realize right now things are a little tense between us, but, you know, I'm reading this book or I'm going through this study at my church, and I realize that I've kind of dropped the ball in regard to some key conversations that I need to be having with you to prepare you to live in the real world and to make sure that you're not buying in to the culture's lies. And just lay it out like that, almost like an apology, like I've kind of dropped the ball here and I know right now our relationship's not that great, and so what I want to do is I feel, you know, in order to be a loving parent, to be the kind of parent that God has called me to be, I need to be responsible with this task that he's given me to make sure that you know truth in a sea of lies out there that you're being bombarded with. And you may not, you know, you may prefer to be out with your girlfriends during this time or whatever, but every couple weeks I want us to get together and we'll go have dessert or dinner, or you pick. What do you want to do? And we're going to talk about some of the stuff that I'm learning and that I'm reading. And hopefully, you know, we can get closer. Hopefully you'll see that my motive is that I want to have a relationship with you, that I care about you, and I love you, and I'm being obedient to God in this. And so I've heard back from some moms who have shared that they were hesitant. They were reluctant. They tried it, you know, and sure, maybe the first few times they got with their daughter, she was rolling her eyes, or do we have to do this, or how much longer is this going to last? But really, by the end of it, most all the stories or testimonies I've heard have been very positive, especially if mom continued to remind her daughter that I'm doing this out of love. This is what God has instructed me to do to make sure that I'm equipping you with his truth because I love you and he loves you. Well, who can argue with that?
Sounds really pretty non-threatening.
Yeah, it does. It does.
It does. Okay, you're a mother of three, and your kids are nearly grown.
They are.
Oh. How much of this study was born out of your own experience?
Oh, a lot of it. In fact, I've got two sons and a daughter. My daughter's in the middle. And so right now, at the time of this taping, she's 19, a sophomore in college. And when I started doing events for girls, teenage girls, she was right on the cusp of being a teen herself, which was interesting. Mm. So back when she was in sixth grade, I started speaking a lot to teenage girls and their mothers. And I, prior to that, been speaking to college-age women. And so it gave me a little bit, in a sense, of a glimpse of what was coming down the pipe. Even though my daughter was young, I wasn't quite as shocked when, you know, we went through certain stages, because I'd hear from Christian college girls who said, oh, I wish I'd known this, or this is what it's really like in the dating world, or, you know, whatever the issue was. But raising her in the trenches of, at the same time, trying to be a voice that's helpful to mothers, and I've never liked the whole tagline of I refuse to let anybody say I'm an expert in teen culture. Every now and then I'll see that printed somewhere, and I'll do what I can to get it retracted, because I don't feel like I'm an expert. I've always said I'm a mom. I'm just a mom in the trenches like everybody else, and I happen to have been given a front row seat for a little while there and doing these events where girls were sharing with me real life situations of what's going on, even among our church girls. And I felt like, you know, well, I'm a mom, and I know other moms, my friends, they would care to know these things. Mm-hmm. Information is power. I've always told moms that. And so that's been more of my motive in seeing and hearing those stories and hearing the heart of college women and teenage girls everywhere. And then also just watching my own daughter grow up, which has been so very valuable. It would be hard for me to write all this if I didn't have a daughter, even having done all that, because really, you know, I saw that transition, that real life transition of, oh, wow, she really likes me. Well, she's 10, 11, 12. And then the next day, all of a sudden, she thinks I'm a dork. And, you know, even my daughter was, I was doing all the things that, you know, they recommend you do, all the gurus out there, Dobson and Dennis Rainey and all of those. And yet my daughter still came out thinking I was a dork. And so, you know,
well, that's developmental.
I want to give hope to the mothers out there. And so I watched times where she pulled away. Even in the high school years, she did roll her eyes. We continued to have these conversations. And now we're at just a really sweet and dear place. She goes to college out of state. So she calls me multiple times each day. And I joke that I talk to her more now that she's 800 miles away than I did when she was in the house in her senior year and couldn't wait to leave. Now all the messages I get are, I can't wait to come home.
Well, you know you did something right. Have you heard from moms about any one of these five conversations being more difficult than others?
Absolutely. Hands down, I get more feedback on the sex is great and worth the wait talk because so many moms are just, first of all, absolutely scared out of their wits to have those conversations. Plural. Notice I said conversations because no more of this. You know, you have the one time birds and bees talk, and then you say, oh, and by the way, God created sex, but it's a really, you know, it's his plan that we wait until we're married. Those are the rules to the game. And then boom, you never talk about it again. Well, those days are gone. I'm not sure they ever really existed, but they're gone. And moms need to face that, you know, this culture at large is, it's a very promiscuous culture. If you don't talk to your daughter, or your sons for that matter, by default, they will be educated. And that's what I tell them. So it can either be you giving them accurate information, or you can say nothing and they can imagine that it's something that it's not, and be educated by their peers or the media, which should be a scary thought to us all. But I hear a lot of feedback from mothers, and I just got a message recently through Facebook from a women's ministry leader that led the study. It was exciting because she said they had so many sign up for the first one that they had to repeat it. And she said at both studies, that was the conversation where in the small groups, everybody ran over on time. Because she said a lot of the women were just trying to work their bravery up. Like they had the girls who were 13, 14, 15, even 16, and they hadn't had any conversations or They hadn't covered a lot of the stuff that I talked about. And so they were, it almost, one of what she shares is like it turned into kind of a support group, even like, you can do it. Mm-hmm. And I remember on the DVD session talking to those moms and saying, we must get our bravery back. We must come to our daughters with an air of confidence on this subject. We are not afraid. We should not bury our heads in the sand. God has given us everything we need to tackle this. And, you know, we need to resist what I think the enemy's doing here. And he wants us to shut up. He wants the culture to educate our children about sex and to make it into something that God never intended it to be. And so I do. I get a lot of wonderful feedback where even from mothers who did the study who say, I was so scared. I was so nervous to, you know, and a lot of them took my advice of maybe every week or every other week going somewhere with their daughter or even doing a weekend trip. And they said, you know, the first time it came out of my mouth, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm trying to act confident like Vicki talks about and, you know, get a brave face on. I can scream a primal scream in my closet later if I need to. I told them that, you know, or bury your head in a pillow, but don't let your daughter see your fear. Don't let her see your fear. And overall, great responses with my daughter. Even by the third time we talked about it, was asking questions, or now my daughter is sharing things that maybe someone told her at school. I just got a message from a mom who said, you know, when I was doing the study, I thought, oh, my daughter's too young. We were on the sex part. She's in third grade. She's never even brought anything up. Would you believe I just finished this study? And she came home from school and said that one of the girls out on the playground said she had already had sex with a boy. Now, I don't really believe that. I hope that's not true. I mean, we're talking 8-year-olds here. But the fact that, you know, this mother said she was reluctant to believe that at some level her daughter was going to hear that word sex. I talk to moms all the time, and they're like, my daughter's never even heard it. I promise she didn't know what it is. And they're, you know, the mom's daughter will be 7th grade. I'm like, no, you are fooling yourself if you think that. And so this mom was grateful for accurate information that she could at a very basic level, because you certainly at that age don't want to rob that child of their innocence by telling them too much. But obviously now her hand is forced. She's got to sit down with her daughter and at least at a basic level say, you know, no, this little girl, whatever she told you, she has it wrong. You know, this is what God intended for it to be. And then at least open up the door. And, you know, really, at that point, you tell your daughter, too, I'm so proud of you for telling me that this came up. And I want you to know that I, you know, anything you want to talk to me, that's what I tell the mothers about. That, you know, that's where you may need to do the primal scream later in secret. You know, that don't ever act shocked when your daughter comes to you, because if you do and she tells you something, and yes, we will be shocked at some of the stuff. If she sees that, you know, oh, wow, this freaked my mom out, she's not going to come back and want to talk to you in the future. And so we've got to make sure we have our game face on, we're ready to talk about it, that even though we're very shocked, we say, you know, I guess I'm not surprised that you would hear something like that. And, hey, let's talk about this. I am so proud of you for bringing this up. Again, it's that air of confidence.
It sounds like having all the moms in a group like they would be in this study could be so helpful.
And I'm hearing that too. And that was my prayer, honestly. I had several key things I was praying that this study would accomplish. And one of them would be that it would be the type of study that would bring in moms with young girls, moms with, you know, grade school girls, moms with middle school girls, and then moms with high school girls. And that it would fulfill a Titus 2 principle of, you know, moms that are a little bit maybe older, wiser, or they've been through these stages already, being a support and a source of wisdom for the moms with the younger girls who are quite frankly afraid. I hear that a lot. Conversation 2 is don't be in such a hurry to grow up. And so I especially hear from moms of the younger girls, they've already seen enough out there in the world to know that the culture is attempting to take their little girls by the hand and rush them as fast as they can through girlhood. I mean, girlhood is such a small window now, if we allow it. And so, and having the moms of the older girls there in the same group, I'm hearing that it was a beautiful thing, you know, of giving hope to the moms with the younger girls. This is maybe what I would have done differently. I wish I had focused more on this or that. This is what I did right. This is how you can cultivate a relationship with your daughter. And again, I tell the moms with the young girls, some of this, yeah, your daughter's too young to discuss some of the topics in this study or in the book. But again, it's information's power. To have it on your radar, to know what's coming, to get in the practice now of noticing what's out there in the news and how you could. I mean, we've got a lot of little girls watching Miley Cyrus. Those are some conversations that need to be going on right now because they are very confused by two different girls that they're seeing out there. One who behaves on our TV show and one who's not really behaving in the public eye. And again, so we've got little girls 6, 7, 8 carrying a, you know, Hannah Montana lunchbox, wanting to know, is it true, Mom? Does she really do this at the award show or dance this way? Or, you know, they're hearing those things at school. So we've got to be equipped to start talking about these things. And most of us will be forced to talk about them sooner than later.
In the video session, you say God is looking for imperfect mothers raising imperfect daughters in an imperfect world who are desperately dependent on God, a perfect God, for the results. Why did you feel it was important to restate this throughout the study?
Oh, I wanted to make sure. I stated it at the beginning, and I stated it again in the very last closing. It's probably the final thing I said in the closing session on the DVD, because I really, the moms I hear from, and I've been this mom, we always wonder, is it enough? And we always imagine that there really is this mom out there who's reached the pinnacle and she's doing it all right. Well, she doesn't really exist. and even if she did, would she need God at that point to get her through all these challenges and in the end come out closer to Him? And so I like the picture of, and I use this in the study of Nehemiah when he was called to rebuild the wall. And I say that's kind of the picture that I get with moms, that, you know, that we look around sometimes like Nehemiah did and the Israelites, and they saw the rubble and they felt like the task was overwhelming. I think that can be likened to the culture and what we see today. We see a lot of rubble. We think the task is overwhelming. We're wondering, how are we even going to rebuild the holes in the wall? And yet, that's what God says. That's what I'm here for. You keep me by your side. Your weapon is my word. I'm going to give you everything you need, the grace you need for each and every moment. And little by little, you're going to spackle up every hole you see in that wall that we call attention to here. But the ultimate goal being that at some point, when we launch these girls from the nest, and that's where I am, that's the season of life I'm in now, we have then equipped them to guard their own hearts. So you're like, you're standing guard at the wall. You're helping protect in those younger years from 0 to 18 your daughter's heart by drawing boundary lines, by teaching her God's truth, replacing the lies of the culture with that truth. But at the same time, you're equipping her to someday stand on her own and equip her very own heart.
Oh, that's great. Parents need to hear that, not just moms, dads too. What's next for you?
Oh, goodness. Well, I do feel really burdened to write The Counterpart. I don't even have a contract for it or anything, so I'm just throwing it out there. I really do want to write 5 Conversations You Must Have With Your Son. When this study came out, I got feedback from moms who were doing the study or reading the book and saying, I have sons. Are you working on this? Because I noticed you have 2 sons, Vicki. And I was just sharing with a friend that, you know, maybe 50 years ago, dads had certain conversations with their boys and moms had certain conversations with their daughters. We have a lot of moms raising their kids on their own nowadays. And even for those of us who are married and we have husbands who are discipling our sons, the mother-son relationship is a neat dynamic. And I've had just as many enriching conversations with my boys as I have with my daughter. And so I think there's a place for 5 Conversations You Must Have With Your Son at some point on down the road, and to get some key things out there, some information to our boys. And who better to do that than mom? It's great if dad's going to come alongside and disciple his sons as well, but a lot of times moms have more time in the car, you know, on the way to ball practice, wherever, to take advantage of some real teachable moments as well.
And you're doing some conferences this year, aren't you?
Yes. I have a conference that I do that I absolutely love. In addition to a lot of other, you know, just independent speaking engagements, I do an event with Lifeway called You and Your Girl. And, oh boy, I've been doing that for a couple years now, and it's exciting. We have moms who come with their daughters anywhere from third grade on through high school, and I teach the main session times, and then we have a time where they can even break out, and we put the third and fourth grade girls together, and then fifth, sixths together, and then middle schools together, and then high schools together. And in that way, you know, they get a little bit more intense time where we touch on topics that are relevant to that age group. Obviously, you're a third grader and an 11th grader are not going to have a whole lot in common. But from the platform, I stay nice and safe and, you know, talk a lot about guarding your own heart and some themes in the book and the Bible study. And then they have that breakout time, and then we have a wonderful worship band. And so I do about four of those a year. I'm very excited about those events.
I think that's so good that this is an event where you don't just go learn about parenting your daughter. You're actually with your daughter.
And it's been, oh, I could just tell you stories, but at the end and the closing time, it's always so moving to all of us to just look and see moms with their arms around their girls, you know, there at the altar or where they're sitting and they're praying together. And this past year, we've given them a little bracelet with Proverbs 4:23, like just a rubber wristband that is a reminder that we want moms, that talks about guard your heart above all else. It affects everything you do. At least it says that in the New Living Translation. And so that's the theme of the event. And then mothers to hand that to their daughters, and they get one, the moms get one, and the girls get one. And it's just been, we see a lot of tears. We see a lot of just a lot of bonding that happens there. And even with the older girls who come, you see the body language when they get there and their arms folded, and I'd rather be anywhere else than with my mother right now because I'm 14 and this is the way I'm supposed to feel, right? And then the little girls always holding hands with their mothers and hugging her, and you see the difference, but by the end, there's no difference. There are high school age girls hugging their mothers, and, well, I make them for one thing. I tell them, right now, you're going to hug your mother and act like you mean it. But I think they really do mean it by the very end when I'm not making them do it. And you hear, if you're walking through the crowd, I like to do that, you hear a lot of thank you, Mom, you know, for bringing me here. And it's just a neat thing.
Where will they be?
We have one coming up in Olive Branch, Mississippi, which is March 27th of 2010. And then Carrollton, Texas, which is the Dallas-Fort Worth area, on April 17th. Syracuse, New York. We're super excited about that one. We've never been that far, you know, away. And so that one is September 11th of 2010. And then following that one will be Covington, Louisiana, on October 23rd.
Well, good. I hope a lot of women and their daughters can come out.
Same here.
Thank you, Vicki. This has been great.
This Inside Lifeway podcast was a production of the Communications Department of Lifeway Christian Resources. For an archive of past podcasts, visit lifeway.com/insidelifeway. For more news, information, and contacts for journalists, visit lifeway.com/news.